He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, and the allergies are back. Senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points, and today on the show, we're going to be talking about whatever the hell just happened. The Utah Jazz beat the Lakers 131-119. Felt like 19. This game was not all that close from about the first quarter on. It was just kind of steadily a beat down, and then eventually became like, you look up, you're like, wow, down 20, huh? And the Lakers never really responded in any meaningful way. And we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about Alex Len's debut. We'll talk about Dalton Kinect getting out there for this one. That felt noteworthy. And then we will probably send you guys on your way a little bit early in this show. Raj and I will get together, I believe, tomorrow to kind of look back on everything that has taken place before the All-Star break. But yeah, I would probably, it's a shitty way to go into the All-Star break, given how high we were riding as of a few hours ago. But at the end of the day, every team has games like this, even after acquisitions like Luka. And, you know, if you don't take the team seriously, as the Lakers didn't appear to take the Utah Jazz very seriously in this one, you get your butt kicked, and the Lakers did. The first stat that really stands out to me, honestly, in this one is, well, for one thing, Luka was a minus 19 in 23 minutes. He was pretty bad out there in this one. But even more notably than any singular player here, and Luka was a part of this, 17 of 30 from the free throw line for the Lakers. 17 of 30. The thing about free throws, they are easily the most mental part of a game, in my opinion, because it's all muscle memory. You could shoot endless and endless and endless amounts of free throws, and if you aren't quite right, you can, not only can free throws kind of leak into the rest of your game because you don't really want to get to the free throw line, like the guy who I always think of when this would kind of a free throw line issue seeping into the rest of somebody's game is somebody like Anthony Davis or somebody like Giannis, right? Where they're okay free throw shooters. They aren't terrible. But then they miss a couple and then they start kind of shooting floaters or they start not really attacking the basket the way that they should. And it just kind of affects you. And in this one, I think you kind of saw the reverse happen where the only thing that kept the Lakers even remotely in this one was kind of outlandish three-point shooting early, but they clearly didn't give a bleep about this one. And that free throw shooting to me indicated very early on, like, oh, all right, this is the kind of game we're having, huh? Everybody's already on vacation. And look, I get it. The Fridays before vacation are the worst work day that you'll ever encounter, right? You just like look up and you get to work and it's like, all right, I got here. It's 9 o'clock. All right, just about 8 hours to go and I'll be in Cancun real, real soon. And then you kind of go through, like you answer a couple emails and you're like, all right, I'm in a bit of a rhythm. I definitely think that had to have taken at least an hour or so. And you're like, 9:05, what? And that was essentially what like the energy that we saw from the Lakers here tonight was like, all right. It's like one more stupid task before we get to the All-Star break. Let's go ahead and knock this one out. All right. We're down 15. Like it was just a Jazz team that was just embarrassed the other night, right? In Luka's debut. They made a couple adjustments, I thought, in this one. Lauri Markkanen played, I think, pretty easily the best game I've ever seen him play against the Lakers. I'd like to go through his like splits against the Lakers. It's typically felt like he can't throw a pee in the ocean against the Lakers, but in this one, he was incredible. 11 of 18 from the field, 6 of 10 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. You look at the Jazz, 26 of 33 isn't exactly lighting the world on fire, but you look at their kind of like more important players who are a little bit more kind of focused here. John Collins, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. Lauri Markkanen, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Jordan Clarkson's a bit of a joke at this point of his career, so he's like 4 of 8. And then you have like, you know, Keontae George goes 3 of 4. I'm not sure why he's coming off of the bench and Jordan Clarkson is starting. Solid tanking job there by Will Hardy and the Jazz. Just like in San Antonio, you have Chris Paul starting over Stephon Castle right now. I saw Kevin O'Connor point that out, and that made me chuckle. Both these teams still want to like hold on to the mere chance of being bad enough for long enough that like maybe like Wemby steps on a Lego and they're like, whoa, 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 you got to be careful here. We can't be too careful with this one. Wemby, you got to sit like 4 weeks because you stepped on a Lego. And that gives us an outside chance at Cooper Flagg. Like we're about like 3 weeks removed from Utah going over to like Walker Kessler and being like, hey bud, how you feeling? You're good. You're good. What'd you eat for lunch? I'm good, man. I'm good. I ate a ham sandwich. Oh, you hurt your hamstring off. That's too bad. You got to sit for like 7 weeks. But before they get to that point of the season, they have games like this where the team that they're playing against just doesn't care to the extent that it didn't matter what they were doing. Utah was going to win this one no matter what. Lauri played his ass off. Walker Kessler just absolutely dominated on the interior. Jackson Hayes got hurt after 7 minutes. And then you had a lot of Alex Len. He played 22 minutes. You had Christian Coloco out there for 9 minutes. And then you had like the Lakers going small, but the problem with the Lakers going small without Dorian Finney-Smith and without Gabe Vincent is there's no ball pressure. So basically with all of Utah's guards outside of Clarkson, who is just running out there gunning, but like all of Utah's guards who actually care about winning, they were just like taking advantage of not having ball pressure, throwing the ball over the top of the defense. And you would have Walker Kessler just kind of standing there under the basket, looking like young Wilt, taking care of business. So ugly game in this one. I'm not going to spend too much time on, like, much like the Lakers, I'm like right there to the All-Star break. You guys hear it in my voice. I'm like, man, almost there. We're coming off the All-Star break. I had like 12 hours combined over that last week or so during the trade deadline. Like right there to the All-Star break. Not that I'm going to Cancun or anything like that. I have two children and vacations are not vacations with children, but it is still like a Lakers team that I thought, and JJ said this after the game, they took Utah for granted after beating the crap out of them the other night. And the Lakers took the Jazz for granted and Utah took the Lakers to the woodshed and absolutely beat the crap out of them. So kudos to the Utah Jazz. I had warned you guys, and this was part of the conversation that like coming off of the game that the Lakers played the other night when they beat the crap out of Utah, was like, no. Like Utah has been playing a little bit better basketball lately, like a little too good of basketball lately, to the extent where like Keontae George is now coming off of the bench. You know, they've been playing pretty well by their standards, and the Lakers got to them the other night. And in this case, the Jazz got to them in this one. And this one, again, was over basically after like the first quarter. It was pretty clear the level of focus just wasn't quite there. There was a stretch in like the first half where Utah scored on something like 9 straight possessions. And it's like, oh, all right, this is what we're doing here. Cool. What I will say, though, like, aside from how annoyed I am about the outcome of that game, what I will say is I think there's some value in Utah, like sending a message that, for one thing, if you're playing on the perimeter for the Lakers and your interior defense is Jaxson Hayes, Alex Len, and Christian Koloko, you need to get after it defensively at all times. And those lapses that you have defensively on the perimeter, you're going to get your butt kicked for them, because there is no, like, Anthony Davis is no longer there to fix your mistakes. And that was honestly the thing that was most kind of fun to watch over the course of this last 6-game winning streak, was players on the perimeter, like, really recognizing and getting after it defensively in a way that was like, all right, we aren't expecting Anthony Davis to be back there to clean up all of our messes. So let's not make so much of a mess. And then I thought in this one, it was the unfortunate combination of, yeah, we're not going to pressure, and also we're going to let guys get by us and get into the paint and stuff, and let passes get into the paint and get through the cracks of the defense with very little, pressure or deflection. Like, I don't think the Lakers had, it didn't feel like they had like 10 deflections over the course of the entirety of the game. Like, this is one of those really important reminders to those players on the perimeter, whether that's, and like, they didn't have Gabe, they didn't have Dorian Finney-Smith, and those guys were missed. But like, I thought Vando played with low energy in this one. I thought Austin Reeves and Luka were pretty bad on the perimeter. I thought LeBron did a lot of like the stand and point type of defense that he can sometimes fall victim to. And that's one thing. You can do those things sometimes and not look so bad statistically when Anthony Davis is back there to clean it up. But when you swap out Anthony Davis for Alex Len, like, not Jaxson Hayes, because even Jaxson Hayes is better than Alex Len, but you swap out Anthony Davis for Alex Len, and especially in Alex Len, who doesn't really necessarily know what he's supposed to be doing out there defensively, that's when you look up and you look at like the Utah Jazz dropping 131 points right upside the forehead. So, you know, sometimes you need those reminders. It would be great for us as like a viewing audience if sports teams didn't need those reminders. But in this one, this was one of those kind of important reminders that teams get every so often, where it's like, you don't show up, you know, like I when I was a coach, and people have asked me like what kind of a coach I was before, I used to tell people, you play half speed, you're going to get your ass beat. Like, you're either going to get literally hurt out there, as Jaxson Hayes did, or you're going to get your butt kicked to the extent that the Lakers did on the scoreboard. And, you know, it's just, that's just how that game went. All right. So let's talk really quickly and leave questions and comments here. I haven't been able to do too much. You know what? I'll pull up the iTunes mailbag and I'll pull up the Discord mailbag. And I had somebody ask me on Twitter for the Discord link. So I will go ahead and put the Discord link in the comments here for those who want to join us there. But yeah, I last point before we get to more of the super comments and iTunes reviews, questions and stuff like that, because I haven't done a mailbag in a while, being a little busy. Hold on one second. Let me go to show. And then scroll down to, yeah, we have some reviews here. So we'll go ahead and get to those as well. but I want to talk really quickly about like this notion of a loss going into the All-Star break. I talked a little bit ago about like the ugly reminder that that this can have on teams, you know, the productive reminder that it can have on teams in a larger sense, in a macro sense. But I think what we've kind of seen, for one thing, JJ's got to get his, like, all right, Luka is apparently on a time restriction or a minutes restriction, and that's kind of probably messing with the rotation. However, even considering that, you know he's on a minutes restriction. Get him out of the game a little earlier. Like, the Lakers have been doing this thing over the last couple games where LeBron subs out. And actually, the previous game, LeBron and Luka walked off the court at the same time. And it was like, why? Where are you going? Like, I even saw, like, I'm not saying actually, but like, I felt like Austin was looking at them and go like, oh, what? I got to make this lineup work? What? You know, like, huh? And then we saw it in this one where it was like, Austin and Dalton and Len and Vando, and it was just like a mess, like an absolute mess. And I think my guess is that, like, you know, JJ just kind of wanted to get through a couple of games, let Luka get out there, break a sweat a couple of times, see what he could see from him. And then over the course of the All-Star break, the Lakers are probably really going to hammer down something closer to not playoff rotations, but, like, you know, decent rotations, more practical rotations. But still, you know, the thing is, the Lakers are the 4 seed right now. Do I have that right? I think they are. They're the 4 seed right now, and it might be just by percentage points. No, they are. They're the 5 seed right now, and they are well within range of even as high as like the 2 seed if they really want to go after it. And like, if you're going to go after it and try to jump up there to the 2 seed, or like, okay, you want to like stay on the opposite side of the bracket from Denver, maybe then you get to the 4 seed and then you have to deal with Oklahoma City in the second round. It's the West. You're going to have to deal with a good team no matter what. But, like, maybe the Lakers jump up to the 2 seed and that pushes Denver to the 4 seed as they it would currently. And then one of either Denver or OKC has to beat the other team before they get to you. And I don't know. Like, at some point, it's going to be interesting to see if the Lakers basically start gunning for wins to improve their seeding here. That's not normally how LeBron handles things, but like, I do think matchups and home court and stuff like that is really going to matter in the Western Conference. And like these are these kinds of stupid games that you're going to look back on at the end of the year. And like it's not going to be as soul crushing as it was before, where enough of these games led to you playing in the play-in game or having to play an extra play-in game to even get into the playoffs. Like, you're not like, it's not going to be that kind of a situation where you get to the end of the season, you're like, why did we lose to fucking Utah? You know, we're one of their 15 wins all year. I don't think it'll be quite that bad, but it'll certainly be like, well, that's kind of stupid. Lost to Detroit twice. This game here tonight, you know, and like a couple of those games, kind of like free throws, right? Like, at one point I looked up at the score, the Lakers had made a mini push in the second half, and it was like a 13-point game. And you look up and you're like, man, if the Lakers had just made like even half of the free throws that they had missed, this would be a single digit game again. And they could maybe make a push for it there at the very end. And that's basically how I'm going to feel about this loss. It's like, this was a free throw that the Lakers missed over the course of an 82-game season that, yeah, in the moment was kind of annoying. But then, like, by the end of the season, you look back on it, you're like, why? And so, like, macro sense, that's where I'm coming from. But micro sense, I think one really important thing that is going to have to happen over the next like week or so. And it's tough because, you know, LeBron is going to have All-Star weekend festivities. Luka is probably going to take a vacation. Austin probably going to go on a bit of a vacation. Although I'm hoping Luka spends the vacation or spends a break kind of getting his legs, continuing to work to get his legs underneath him, because he hasn't shot very well since he got to the Lakers. 3 of 8 from 3-point range tonight. He's like 1 of 5 in the first game. So that's 4 of 13 as a Laker, I believe, off the top of the head. Reeves shot really poorly tonight. Aside from recuperating, recovering, that stuff, but LeBron and Luka, I hope they really put their heads together and figure out, all right, and JJ has to be involved in this too. Those guys have to figure out, like, all right, what do we have to do to more quickly eliminate the, is it your turn? Is it my turn? Do you cut here? Do I cut here? You want to set a screen? You want me to set a screen? Like, you can watch them on the court, just kind of like figuring out what to do here. And the sooner they get away from that, I think the better the Lakers are going to be. We haven't seen too many pick and rolls between the two of them, running it together. That'll be interesting. I kind of think JJ is saving some of that for when Luka has his legs underneath him a little bit more. The Jazz went zone in this one, and the idea of a zone impacting an offense run by Luka Doncic and LeBron James with Austin also on the court, that doesn't seem to make too much sense either. Like, one of those guys, whether it's Luka or LeBron, eventually Luka basically took it upon himself to just kind of stand at the free throw line against the zone. But that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out a little bit more, with a little bit more direction and a little more purpose than we have seen so far this season. Like, over the course of the next, the Lakers don't play again till when? They don't play till, good week or so. Let me look at their schedule. They play again on, the 19th. So a literal week from right now. Over the course of that week, conditioning has to improve, get some practice sessions in to get guys more accustomed to where they're going to be catching passes and looking for open shots. Rui especially needs to learn. He has decent instincts as an offensive player without the basketball. But I think your instincts have to go up that much higher when you're playing with Luka and LeBron, and they are capable of every single pass that somebody can throw. So Rui, Austin, Dorian, Vando to a lesser extent. But those kinds of players are going to have a better understanding of when they should be expecting the ball. It, generally speaking, you should always be expecting it. But the Lakers, Dalton also, I don't know how much he's going to play, but those guys who are going to be finishing plays, they have to be in better rhythm by the time the ball gets to them than they have been over the last couple of games, especially this one. But I think far more importantly is Luka and LeBron and JJ to a lesser extent getting together and being like, all right, here's what the offense, we can do the two guard thing. We can do the spread thing. We can do five out and we can pick apart defenses that way. But we do have to figure out who is 1A, who is 1B. And I think since Luka has gotten to the Lakers, he has kind of allowed himself to be 1B while he kind of gets his legs underneath him, gets his conditioning together, all that stuff. But I think eventually over the course of the season, and Sedano said this on yesterday's show, eventually Luka is going to have to step into that role as 1A, and LeBron is going to have to cede those responsibilities and allow himself to be 1B. That, I think, is the best version of the Lakers. And the sooner the LeBron and Luka get themselves to that point and figure out what that would actually look like and figure out how they would best execute that together, that is the sooner they can get to those moments and those epiphanies, the better the Lakers are going to be. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the super comments here. I also, like I said a second ago, have some iTunes reviews, 5-star reviews that I'm going to get to here as well. But first and foremost, before we get to any of that stuff, very, very important video that we have to play right here. All right. Ryan Lucas writes, one, Len was bad. First game grace, but man, .. Two, even Koloko, don't think he's the answer either. He's not ready. Praying that Holmes, Bagley, or Drummond are available. I don't think it behooves the Lakers to use another roster spot on the center. Like, you made your bed. You moved quickly on Alex Len. I still consider it a fairly solid pickup. I'm not going to judge a guy after 24 hours of being in a facility when, by the way, he thought he was going to be in Indiana as of like a 24 hours ago, like, or 48 hours ago, whatever it was. Like, I'm not going to judge Len too critically based on the one game in this kind of circumstance that we saw. Ideally, by the way, Hayes plays a lot more and Len barely gets out there. But the fact that they didn't have Dorian Finney-Smith, they didn't have Gabe Vincent, meant that, and then eventually lost Jackson Hayes too, meant that you were playing Alex Len 22 minutes. He is not a 22 minutes a night player in the NBA. He is just not. Especially on a team like the Lakers are, that has even, like, you know, outlandish title aspirations. So I'm not gonna judge Len off of this one. I saw some good stuff. I saw some bad stuff. I saw some really good stuff, and I saw some awful stuff, especially defensively from Alex Len. But I don't think, like, if I were the Lakers, I would not use another roster spot. Basically, the last remaining amount of money that you can use before you get right up against the second apron again, I'm not using those resources on another center. You already have Jackson Hayes. You are, especially if the center that we're talking about is like Andre Drummond, who maybe becomes available, but I kind of sort of doubt it because Philly is weird. Rashawn Holmes isn't going to be available. He has another year on his contract beyond this one, I believe. Marvin Bagley, meh, nah. I would rather, honestly, we just saw it tonight. Markelle Fultz got picked up by the Sacramento Kings. I didn't see if it was a full deal for the rest of the season or if it was a 10-day kind of a deal. But, like, that's the guy, whether it's him or Goodwin, that's the kind of player that if I were the Lakers, I would try to use the final bits of resources to be able to make it, that player available for the postseason push and then on into the postseason. You have Hayes, you have Len, you have Koloko for the rest of the season. I don't, for as of like 48 hours ago, maybe even 72 hours ago, I was told fairly definitively that the plan was to convert Christian Koloko. At that time, the Lakers didn't think that they were going to be able to get Alex Len. So I believe that's changed a little bit. Outside chance Koloko gets converted still, but it's I think tangibly less likely now. So that leaves like a Jordan Goodwin or, previously it would have been Markelle Fultz. Maybe it would have been like, maybe it could still be Lonnie Walker or Dennis Smith Jr. But yeah, I will say, like, given how bad the Lakers have looked in those games recently where Gabe Vincent hasn't been available, I think it makes more sense to try to give yourself a little bit more backup at that position than these, like, well below league average centers who just aren't really helping. Next one here, also from Ryan Lucas, seems to be a chance. Mark Williams is still a Laker. I would be shocked, like legitimately shocked, if the league, especially after Dalton Kennett goes out there and plays tonight, but if the NBA steps in and tells the Lakers, no, you have to formalize this trade, that sets a pretty tough precedent that eventually ends with the NBA employing its own independent doctors to overlook medicals for traded players and then go to both teams and be like, all right, here's what their team says. Here's what our team says. Here's what your team says. You can make your decision based off of that. But even there, like, that still involves both teams making those decisions after those physicals are in place. The thing that I haven't seen mentioned or reported anywhere is I've heard that it's like, it's not just the back, it's not just the foot, but there's apparently this extra thing potentially that gave the Lakers pause with Mark Williams medicals. And like, if the Lakers find something there that they are nervous about, both in short and long term, or even either one, right? If it's a short term thing for a team that is, they are concerned wants to win, or that they are trying to win with right away, and they find something that's going to affect beyond what the other team tells them about, that, you know, that's grounds to rescind the trade. If the Lakers medical team or a team trading for a player looks at that player's medicals and they see something that would impact them long term, that and they just make that decision, that's usually a fairly unilateral decision. It also needs to be pointed out that Charlotte is under new ownership and new leadership, and they're brand new to this. So they're probably thinking like, whoa, 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 we made a trade. What are you doing? When, like, this is how the league is operated and they aren't really necessarily used to this. So I would be pretty surprised, shocked even, if this trade was forced to go through. Dalton played tonight, and that would, I would imagine, signal to everybody, all right, it's time to move on. Dalton, you are a Laker. Cam, you are a Laker. Mark Williams, you are a Charlotte Hornet. And let's all move on, as that is now the case. Justin Tindall writes, worry about Bron and Rui playing the four defensively with below average bigs. Is Dalton getting traded again in the offseason? I have kind of gotten the sense that the Lakers are a little frustrated by the Dalton Connect experience. They traded the guy, for one thing. But also, like, they thought he would shoot the ball better. Again, Lakers, you don't employ a shooting coach. So maybe try that. But then also, Dalton, I'm going to say this as, like, politically correct as I can. Dalton's basketball IQ is not where you would think an older rookie's basketball IQ would be. And there are a lot of moments where Dalton, like, you know, forgets a play, forgets where to be, forgets a rotation, stuff like that, that, like, you could look past if he was shooting 40 something percent from 3-point range. You could overlook past, you know, the hiccups and figuring out where he's supposed to be if when you run those sets for him, they were automatic. But now, like, teams aren't really rotating to him in the way that they were before. They're leaving him open way more than they were earlier in the season, because it's like, yeah, he's white, but he can't really shoot. So hopefully, you know, we have seen a bit of an uptick in his shooting ability over the last couple weeks. Maybe after the All-Star break, once, like, that constant repetition of games just continues and continues and continues and continues, that really wears down a young player. That's what leads to those rookie walls. Maybe once we get out of that rhythm and he's allowed some time to kind of recover a little bit and figure out the mechanics of a shot that maybe have broken down over the course of the season to this point, maybe he goes back home and talks to maybe more of his shooting coach and figures out why he isn't the shooter that he was supposed to be coming into the NBA. Maybe that changes and he lights the world on fire over the course of the back half of the season. But if not, yeah, I would probably venture to guess that he'll be on the trade block again, right at the onset of the summer, because, like, you know, again, they literally traded the guy. All right, let's go ahead. I have a couple. I have a few, actually. So, all right. This is from somebody who says, great show is the subject line. Even if Braun finishes the year, because he has some in the tank with a player option, Kyrie, AD, Clay, Braun, Max, and some role players. Man. Is this taking place in, is that taking place in Dallas? You have LeBron. I'm the Lakers are under the assumption, and everybody I've spoken to is under the assumption that LeBron James wants to and intends to finish his career as a Laker. Luka, MF, and Doncic. So this definitely happened after the trade. Man, I'm still in complete disbelief that Luka is a Laker. Sad to see AD and Max go, but if Nico Harrison is offering Luka in the fashion he did, you got to take that deal. 25 years old, five first team all NBA. We got him for AD, Max, and a first. Wow. Post LeBron era is looking great. The center situation seems pretty dire at this point, though. Would obviously love a Claxton, Robert Williams, vertical threat type of guy. I really like elevating Koloko into a 10 to 15 minute a night backup role. He's a better defender than Hayes, and I think could go catch lobs from Luka for 15 minutes a night. Of course, we could go get a Turner, Claxton, etc., but I think we should give him a serious look at the backup five. Cheers to the next Lakers of era basketball. Cheers to the next era of Lakers basketball. Thanks, Anthony. That's from Lakers Fedora. Obviously, a lot has transpired since, like, any of that stuff was on the table, but yeah, I saw, like, I've seen the way the Nick Claxton is playing. And while I do think, like, Rui makes some sense as a finisher to, you know, the stuff that LeBron and Luka can do out there, and it would have also cost a Gabe. So you're talking about, like, a completely different team and an even shallower depth chart than the Lakers are currently working with. Man, Claxton. Like, Claxton looks good. And I do wonder if at the end of the year, the Lakers, using their expiring money, pick up that conversation and see if, because I think Claxton also makes less money next year than he does this year. And if maybe he costs a little bit, I'm going to look that up. If Claxton costs less in terms of, like, the amount of contracts that you have to send out, that maybe it makes some sense to go after him. Yeah, he makes 25 mil next year, and then 23, and then 20, which the Lakers would probably like, because they want to be as kind of flexible as they can be after the year, the 25-26 season. If it's 25 mil, the Lakers could send out, well, you could get there easily with, like, just Rui and Gabe at that point. If the Lakers send out Kleba and Gabe, that gets you to $22.5 million over the summer in expiring money. And then Dalton probably gets you a decent amount of the way there too. Let me see what Dalton Connect's contract looks like. He is making 4 mil next year. Yeah, and then another minimum salary potentially on added to, you know, Kleba, Gabe, Dalton, the first, and a minimum, I believe, gets that done. And, you know, now you have Nick Claxton, who is, like, everything that like, Rob Pelinka described. You know, he's, like, versatile, check. Competes, check. Vertical lob thread, check. gets up and down the court, check. Like all of these things. The only thing that Claxton doesn't really do much of is obviously shoot threes, but he would be a fantastic addition there if Brooklyn is looking to move him. But we'll see. Like, you know, the center spot, like I am still concerned that the center spot basically means, because of the guys that are filling the center spot, it essentially means that the Lakers don't have a chance at, or as I think they still have a chance at winning a championship. It's just going to require like a 9 out of 10 type season, which is what I've said fairly consistently. But you saw like how immediate the impact it was, even when Jackson Hayes went down. And if you're that reliant on Jackson Hayes, it's not ideal. All right. Afrodisiac writes, let's get really spicy. Are the Lakers a better team in 2025 and beyond if they trade Austin and LeBron instead of AD? Grateful for the trade, and I understand it had to be done that way, but it's fun to think about. Love the show. Keep it up. Thank you very much. Oh, man. Woo! That is spicy. That is a... Are they better? I think they essentially become like the Mavericks further west in that case. AD is obviously a lot better than Lively, and he's better than Gafford, and he's better than PJ Washington or whatever. So, you know, like the Lakers would be, you know, better there. Losing Austin would hurt. Here's the thing. I really want to like play out the string of what it looks like LeBron and as LeBron and Luka figure this out, because eventually they're going to. Like, I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that these guys are going to figure it out. I really think that like the tonight, what we saw from the Lakers tonight had everything to do with the fact that like they could smell the ocean air. Like they were like, oh man, could you imagine if you had NBA player finances and you were right on the precipice of like vacation with those kinds of resources, how great that vacation would be. You realize how difficult it would be to like focus. And by the way, you're single, you're probably pretty good looking. You could pull basically any woman that is, you know, not obviously with somebody, and in some cases might be. You're going to go to any like amazing place in the world over the next week or so, at least over the weekend. And again, zillionaire in your like mid 20s. Like, think about how difficult that would be to like not just immediately jump out to with like one game to go. Like, I kind of get it. Frustrating, stupid loss, all that stuff. Obviously, needs to be said, and I have said all that stuff, but like, I think tonight was more of that than it was like an indictment of the LeBron Luka combination. I think Luka LeBron has a higher ceiling than Luka AD Max and no Austin. But man, that is a really fun hypothetical. Really, really fun one. All right. Next one here comes from has_12 trade deadline question. Could the Lakers dump two minimums, get under the apron, and then trade Kleba in a swap for Rob Williams? Cause they'd be able to take back 110% salary. They couldn't have done that. They had a lot of, like, they had a long ways to go, to get under the first apron. And then even there, like you get under the first apron and you would have had to fit Rob's contract under that first apron. Cause like, it's not when you like execute trades in the NBA, it's not where you are at the beginning of negotiations. It's where you are after the trade is finalized. So without getting too deep into the weeds, let's say the Lakers get $1 under the second or the first apron with whatever moves that Has is talking about here. they would have then had to be far enough under the first apron to also absorb the difference in salary between Rob Williams and Maxi Kleba. And so like that $1 under doesn't really necessarily help you until that next trade is executed and you remain $1 under the cap after the entirety of that trade. So I get where you're coming from. I get what you're trying to do there. And honestly, like it really says something that, you know, iTunes five-star commenters who I really appreciate are trying to figure out like seven-step hypotheticals to abide by the stupid CBA that everybody is trying to operate under. All right, final one here, unless I missed any super comments. Doesn't look like it. All right, so Mana from Heaven writes, why aren't there provisions in place to ensure that trades completed before the trade deadline can be amended, barring a failed physical or other unforeseen reasons? I'm thinking of the Cavs, Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, Kyrie Irving trade as well. I honestly don't know. Like, I feel like once the negotiations start before the trade deadline, and especially if like the major pieces of it, like, so essentially in a spot like this, what the league should be able to do is like, all right, Lakers, you don't like the trade as it was previously constituted because of Mark Williams's medicals. Do you want to continue negotiations and work out a different version of this trade? Maybe you don't have to send back the like, we're like, all right, Dalton is definitely going to be a Hornet. Cam is definitely going to be a Hornet. Mark Williams is definitely going to be a Laker. Would you like to rework this trade or rescind it? You can have the choice between those two things. And if the Lakers say, well, we'll try to rework it, and they send back like a reworked version of the trade, and Charlotte goes, eh, I don't like that, then there isn't, after that, there is no like back and forth allowed. The Lakers get one opportunity to rework a trade. Charlotte gets, you know, can either say yes or no to that, or the trade is over, right? Or the Lakers can just go like, yeah, no, we aren't interested in this trade at all. We're all moving forward. That I feel like should be worked into the CBA, but, you know, I don't know. The CBA apparently exists to give me migraines. All right. Yeah, Hunter Raffington, like spring break on steroids. Like it's just like the type of things that NBA players would be able to do on vacation. Like I look forward to, like Jen took Friday off. And I'm looking forward to grabbing lunch without the kids because like Miles will be on his nap and Jen and I will be able to eat like a nice quiet lunch because Avery will be at school. I'm really looking forward to that. That is like something I'm looking forward to. I'll do vacations and stuff like later in the year, like as we get closer to August and to September and stuff. But like the idea of like, all right, Jen, you took Friday off. You want to go to Italy? Like, like it's just like a different world. So like if I was like, if we'd already planned, like, all right, we're going to go and like, we're going to hit Paris. We're going to hit Italy. We're going to like, on a quick weekend, we're going to take a PJ. We're going to go like travel all across Europe and then like, get back here quickly enough to get back into like NBA shape by the end of All-Star break. Like if I was like on the Thursday before or the Wednesday before I could do all of that stuff, I'd be like, all right, I could either close out to Keontae George, who isn't that good of a shooter either anyway, or I could just swim around in these clouds for an extra 15 seconds. And it was pretty clear what choice the Lakers made in this one. But yeah, it's worth noting like the kind of stuff that they can do is pretty crazy. If my mic is cutting out, I apologize. The internet for whatever reason hasn't been great. Let me take a look at where we're at. It should be on the right one. either way, 50 minutes in, after the Lakers lose to the Utah Jazz, I'm going to go ahead and call it here. All right, so the plan tomorrow is to talk to Raj and break down not just these couple games with Luka and what we've seen from him and LeBron and also Austin together. We'll talk about that on tomorrow. We'll also look back on the season up to the All-Star break and then kind of preview what we're hoping to see from the Lakers after the All-Star break. And then that will send you into your guys's and everybody's weekend, nice long weekend as well. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.